All right. I am excited to share this morning. I'm going to open in prayer and then we'll get into it. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity this morning. And I just ask you, Lord, just to fill this room with your presence, to fill each person with your presence, that they would have ears to hear and a heart to receive the word you have for us this morning, that you would fill my mouth, Lord God, with your words, and that your spirit would flow through me, and that it would be nothing of me this morning, but all of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Like Pastor said, this is something I've talked about in one way or another before. I really believe that this is just something God really wants us to get, who we are and in him, and so we can live in joy, and that we can live in confidence. And so this morning, what I'm going to be talking to you about is our significance and value that God has in us. I'm going to go down because I feel weird up high. And I'm going to be doing this, you can see my props over here, with baking and or cooking. And I believe that visuals are always a great thing because it sticks an image in your mind so that you can go back to later on and it will remind you of things. So I have some things here that I'm going to be using this morning that will stick in your mind, hopefully. But if I use these, they would most likely stick in your mind because they're my daughter's Christmas present. But here on the tape, I got an apron and a chef's hat of a little girl. And why I'm using this morning, I know it's Super Bowl Sunday and people probably have made snacks and whatnot, but I'm not going to be talking about snacks. I'm going to be talking about, I think, more of like a Valentine's meal or a Valentine's dessert, something that is worth something for someone who you love. When you think, at least for me, of Valentine's, you think maybe like a fancy meal or a fancy dessert because it's something that you don't normally get. It's something special, something you probably spend money on or a lot of time making. And with that, if you are going to try and make that, or even the person at the restaurant or wherever you're going, you'd need a recipe most likely. And this morning, I want to look at this recipe because recipes tell us exactly the ingredients we need, exactly how much of the ingredients we need, and the instructions of how to get what we want. So before we talk about that recipe, I want you to picture your, if it be a meal, if that makes you more excited than the dessert, I'm more the dessert. I picture a fancy dessert. I want you to picture what is your fancy dessert this morning. Because we're all different. We're all going to have a different dessert in our mind. Mine is chocolate cake for some reason. That's what I keep picturing as I prepared. So that's what I'm going to be referring to. But I want you to pick yours. And if you've got that in your mind, you're going to need to keep that in your mind through the sermon here. With that, each recipe, or each one of them is going to have a recipe. And it's going to have those different ingredients than mine. They're going to have the different instructions. But each one is valuable if you want the outcome of that fancy thing that makes your taste buds dance. So you need these ingredients. If I was to take my bowl and take all the ingredients that were on the table and just throw them together and say, I think that looks good, it probably wouldn't show up as that picture you have in your mind. You'd probably get a big flop, unless you're really, really talented. But our maker, our creator, had a recipe for you when he created you. Just like the person who came up with that recipe of what you're picturing, he had a recipe in mind for you. He took the time to dream you up, to think of every ingredient you are going to need for your life, and design you. And to prove that I'm not just making this up, we're going to go to Psalms 139. Psalms is toward the middle of your Bible. Psalms 139, verse 13. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That means you're made pretty well. I know that full and well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. So he saw you. He didn't just throw in what he had left over. He didn't just throw you together with no thought. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. I don't know much about knitting, and I don't know much about weaving, but I do know that it takes time. He took time on you. He took time and weaved you. He took time and knit you together. He took time on you. He put thought into you. All the days ordained for me were written in the book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Okay, so he thought you up, he put you together, and not only that, he knew the days before they were to be. So he equipped you for everything you were going to need. He put the ingredients in you that you were going to need for your life, for every day of your life. In Jeremiah 29:11, you turn there if you want, or you can write it down. It's a verse many hear at graduation. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So again, we see he has plans for us. And I believe our Creator has equipped us with every ingredient, like I said, every ingredient that we are going to need for our life. He knew what we were going to go through. Every day ordained for us before any of them came to be. He knew what was going to happen 10 years ago. He knew what was going to happen today or yesterday or last week or next week or a month from now. And he has given you every ingredient that you need to get through it. And not just to get through it, but to enjoy life through it. And so many times, we don't see that. So many times, we're trying to get through life. So many times, we're just, well, if we could only, we start comparing. If we could only be like that person or have that person's life. Or if we could only have that gifting. If I could only look like that. And when we're looking and comparing, we're not living what we are supposed to be. You weren't supposed to look like that. You weren't supposed to have that person's husband. You weren't supposed to have that gifting, because if you were, you would not be happy, because it wasn't for you. He made you with everything you need, and we have to take the time to find out who that is, because when we find out who we were created to be, we're going to have fulfillment, we're going to have joy and excitement, and I'm getting ahead of myself, so I'm going to wait and stop there a minute, because he also, in those ingredients are dreams. He put your dreams in you for a reason. They are your dreams. And we're not supposed to just dream that someday they happen. In the time, he'll give us steps because those dreams are in us for a purpose. He's given you the desires in you because he wants to fulfill the desires of your heart. So the desires that are in you, say, okay, God, what are these for? Because they make up who you are. And he has equipped us with everything to walk those out. So I want you every day to wake up and say, I remember who my Creator is. I know whose fingerprints are all over me. I know that I have everything in me that I need for today and for those in my life. But before I talk about how it's for others, I want to look at one more thing I said about comparing, how that can stop us. When we're comparing, our eyes aren't on our purpose. Our eyes aren't on the plans that God has for us. Our eyes are on everybody else and thinking theirs are better. The cake needs the ingredients. For my cake, it needs the ingredients on its list. If I thought, baking soda doesn't really taste that good. And it really doesn't need that much of it. I'm just going to leave it out. guess what? My cake wouldn't rise. If I was like, you know, sugar, they say it's not good for me. I'm just going to leave that part up. My cake wouldn't taste very sweet. There's a purpose for every dream, every personality, every weakness, every strength. The design of your outward, your everything, your talents, everything is in you for a purpose. It's who He designed you, who He dreamed you up to be. And I think of babies when they're born. They're perfect. I had the privilege of being able to deliver my sister's baby back in November. And I thought, okay, you know, my babies came out and they were handed to me. Oh, they're perfect. But I was like, okay, but they're my own. So, you know, I don't know if everybody feels that way. When my sister's baby was handed to me, she was perfect. When I've gone to visit people in the hospital who have had babies, their babies are perfect. There's just something about a newborn baby that is just, oh, it's perfect. You're perfect in God's eyes. And you can say, oh, yeah, but when they hit two, you're not thinking they're perfect anymore. Well, you know what? In their parents' eyes, they're still a perfect child. Maybe they're not perfect in all their actions, but they're still their child. You are still His child. Maybe we don't always make the best decisions, but we're still perfect in our Father's eyes, in our Creator's eyes. So this morning I have a quote from Chronicles of Narnia. I cannot remember exactly which one of them, but it's when I was watching it about a month ago with my daughter, and Lucy, one of the characters in there, was doubting who she was. She was comparing herself to her sister. And she is saying, you know, I just wish I was as beautiful as her. I just wish I was more like her. And Aslan showed up in the picture, and he said, don't doubt your value. Don't run from who you are. And this morning, I think God is telling that to us. Don't doubt your value. And do not run from whom I created you to be. Each and every part of us has a significance, just like an ingredient in a cake. Every part has a purpose. And sometimes we look at those things in our life, and maybe past or even choices we're making or have made recently, and we look back and we think, you don't know how bad I've screwed it up. I maybe was perfect when I came out, but man, I really took some turns. Or I really made some bad choices. And I was thinking about that, and God brought up a memory that I hadn't thought about for years. And it was one summer. We were old enough to stay home alone, but I don't think I was that old. It was the first time I had gotten to bake without my parents home. My older cousin had come, and she was home, or she was visiting us for like a week or so. And she's like, oh, let's make some cookies. I'm like, can you do that? You know, Mom and Dad aren't home, is that okay? And we made cookies, and I thought it was the coolest thing. My dad came home, and he likes cookies, and he was really happy. And I thought, oh, this is so cool. They actually taste good. And so what do you think happened when she went home? I was gonna do it on my own. I was gonna try that by myself. And so I made them. They looked like cookie dough. I put them on the pan. We put them in the oven. They smelled like cookies. They looked like cookies. I took a bite, and I spit it out. Because I'm not really sure, but I remember it was something to do with the baking soda. I don't know if I did a tablespoon instead of a teaspoon, or if I did powder instead of soda, but they did not taste good. And so I took the pan of cookies, and I put them back in the bowl with the dough, and I went way out into the cornfield next to our house, and I got rid of all the evidence because I didn't want anybody to know how bad of cookies I made by myself. And I got rid of the evidence, but then I went in and I made a new batch, and I was very careful at following the instructions and very careful at doing the right ingredients, and they did turn out. But sometimes we have things in our life, and we put things in the bowl of our life that don't taste good and that don't look good, and we don't want people to see it. You know what? Just like any good chef or just like any good baker, they could come along and taste it and go, oh, this is what you need to do. And they could fix it and turn it into a masterpiece of a yum thing that makes your taste buds dance. But you know what? We can't do that on our own. We can try to fix it, or we can try cover it up, but we know that's why we need our baker's hand in our life. Sometimes it's easy to go on our own, but it's simple to fix, because all we need to do is say, Abba, Father, I really messed up. Or I've really been off this recipe for a long time of what you have for me. Bring me back. And he is so welcoming to change that for you, and he'll give you the steps. But just like when we have all the ingredients on the table, and they're all there, or on our card, they're not going to get in the bowl. They're not going to be stirred. They're not going to be put in the pan and put in the oven without the baker's hands. God can have all these great plans for us, and he can have the instructions laid out for us, and he can put the ingredients in us, but they're not going to turn into that great masterpiece of a dessert or a life without the Creator's hands. We need him a part of our life, showing us when to put the things in our life, when to stir them up, when to put them in the oven. We need his hand in it. So it doesn't matter what our past is. We can't be comparing and constantly comparing, because then we don't see the significance in us. We can't look at our weaknesses always and have our eyes focused on our weakness. For me, something that I've seen, I mean, many times we'll say, okay, you know, I have these dreams, I'm just not cut out for that. You know, it's just a good dream. Or I have this desire in my heart, but I could never do it. You're limiting what God's put in you. And you could say, or I'm just not that strong, or I just don't have what it takes. Well, then you're doubting what God's done and put in you. And for me, I realized probably in the last few months, really, but it's been something God's really been showing me for a while, but I just feel like I'm actually getting a hold of it in these last few months, is sometimes our weakness is just our strengths not yet matured or not yet perfected. Sometimes our weaknesses are just things that are in us for a good thing and a good purpose that God has for us, but we have to walk them out and grow in them, and we have to perfect them with his help and his hand. And what I mean by that is, for my life, I grew up, and this is something that can also get in your way, is people's opinions. People's opinions are good sometimes, but you can't base your life on them. And I grew up hearing constantly, and they weren't always wrong. Lexi, you are just so sensitive. If you just quit being so sensitive, well, you weren't so sensitive about that. And I grew up thinking sensitivity was a really bad thing. So then I grew up figuring out how to hide it and not let people know that things they said bugged me or hurt me. And I grew up covering it up. And that hurt me, because then I walked around offended and hurt with walls up. And I couldn't walk out my destiny. I couldn't walk out my full purpose when I wasn't seeing one strength as a strength and was hurt and offended. Because sensitivity isn't a weakness. It can be if it's not used in the right way. And that's where I have to grow and mature. And that's where God showed me, you know what? To cover it up isn't right. I need to be able to say, you know what? My first reaction to that comment was to get hurt, but I don't think you meant it that way. Can you clarify what that meant to me? Or, you know, just bringing it to God even and just saying, hey God, if that's something in my life that I should look at, help me see it, or help me let it go. And grow and mature in that part of sensitivity. There's also a sensitivity of being sensitive to the Spirit. And there's a sensitivity of being sensitive to the need of others, or being sensitive and picking up on something someone's going through. It's not all a weakness, but it can be, and it can get in the way. So you can't stare at them and try hide them, your weaknesses, I mean. But know them, acknowledge them, and say, okay, God, grow me in this. Because you put this here for a reason. And Philippians 3, verse 12, it says, Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. With this, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Isn't that encouraging? We can forget those bad ingredients that we've put in. They don't have to hold us back. God can fix them. We can press toward what Christ has put in and God, our Creator has put in for a plan for us, and we can press toward that vision or goal or life He has for us. And if we are maturing in them things, we're going to see life as this. We're going to be pressing towards. And when sometimes we don't yet see it, and maybe we're in that weakness still, He's going to make it clear to us if we allow Him. I take that as a real encouragement. I don't have to have it all figured out. I can press towards, and I can know, okay, God has a plan for me, and I can take the steps to it. But I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to have it all obtained. And even if I'm not seeing it all and how it's going to happen, He's going to make it clear to me. I just think that's so encouraging, and I hope it encourages you too. Because our baker sees that end picture. He sees that end result. He sees that yummo thing that you're picturing in your mind, even when we are seeing the goo in the bowl. I mean, how is this going to turn into anything good? He sees it, so we have to trust Him when we're not seeing it and know that He's put every ingredient in us to make, and He's equipped us to make our life enjoyable and to make our life something that is worth living, that we can be excited about getting up in the morning and say, I got the fingerprints of God on me today. I got the ingredients I need for today. I don't have to be down when I know I have this meeting that maybe is going to be a real bummer, that's looking like it's not going to go so good and I'm not wanting to go to it. You know what? I have what it takes for me to go through that today. I can get up and say, you know what? My kids have been just hard this week. But you know what? I have what it takes in me to deal with that. Because only you have the ingredients for your children to raise them the best. Only you have the ingredients in you to be that spouse to your husband or wife that they need. Only you have the ingredients for you to deal with your parents or your siblings or your job that you're in right now or your neighbors. You're like, oh, but you don't know my neighbors. You know what? God made them and put the ingredients in Him. Maybe He's trying to mature your weakness. You know? He put the ingredients in us for where we are living. He knew who we were going to be married to. He knew who our children were going to be. He knew who our parents were going to be. He knew it all. He's seen all the days fashioned for us before one of them were yet to be when He was knitting us together, and He put it in us to be able to deal with that, to be able to live with that joyfully. Because we're supposed to have a joy of our salvation, right? He wouldn't put us in a life that we weren't equipped to live and say, well, hope you come out okay. No, He took the time to dream you up. He dreamed your life. He dreamed your kids. He dreamed your spouse for you. And He's given you what it takes to do the best. But if you're trying to do it without the Creator's hand, that's probably why you're not too happy right now. That's probably why things are hard to get out, or things are hard to get out of bed for in the morning. It's probably why things just aren't too exciting in life right now. But it's not too late. Ask for the Creator's hand to touch you. He didn't leave an ingredient out in you. He's the master creator. He didn't give you the spare leftovers. He gave you what you needed for the life you're in. He's equipped you. And if we're not looking at it that way, we are not going to be much of good for the kingdom of God when we're looking at all the lack or looking at what they have. You know what? If baking soda wasn't satisfied being baking soda in my cake and just said, well, sorry, but I'm just not going to go in it. There's no need for me. That cake would not rise. Flower said, you know, I'm just bland. Nobody likes putting their finger and tasting me. Why would they need me? You know, I liked it better when I was a grain in the wind. You know what? We would have no structure for that cake. There is a piece of, or there is a reason for everything within us. And so if there's dreams that you've been dreaming of since you were little, and you're like, but it's just too late, I'd take it to the Creator and say, is this in there for a reason? If there's desires of your heart that you just keep saying, oh, kind of getting old for that. Or, you know, I just never could do it. I'd take that to the Creator because it's there. And I believe He's put things like that for a reason within us so we can walk out the plans He had for us. And an encouraging thing that is in Philippians 1:6, it says, He began a good work, will carry it out to completion. So if we allow the Creator to begin that work and allow Him to work on us through it, He will carry us out to that voila. And we can be that voila as we walk in our everyday life. We can be satisfied. We can say, oh, man, what do you have in store for today, God? What is that big dessert for today? What are you going to create in through me today? Because Jeremiah 1:5, God's talking to Jeremiah. He says, before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you, a prophet to the nations. That's what I had in mind for you. This morning, I believe God is saying, before I shaped you in the womb, Nick, I knew all about you, Brian. Before you saw the light of day, Diane, I had holy plans for you, Dan, a prophet to the nations. What is it He's putting in that blank for you? Jeremiah was a prophet to the nations. What is the gift and the plan that God has in plan for you, because that's what He has in mind for you. Are you walking it out? Are you seeing the picture that He sees of us? Or are we just seeing ourselves as, well, I'm just me, nothing special, nothing significant, nothing valuable. I mean, I don't really have any of those great gifts. Really? I don't think our Creator just, you know, not put something in. He took time to create you. He didn't just not give you something. What is it that He has given you? And that should be way more than enough for us, because He thought it would be more than enough for us. Are we living it out? Because the next question is, take a drink and we'll skip one. The next question is, so what is the purpose of all this significance and value in us? I mean, is it just so we can say, oh, it's good to be up because I get to go to work and I'm equipped to go to work today? No. What's the purpose of a great big meal that you've bought or you've prepared? What's the significance or the value, or what is the purpose of that big dessert that you're thinking of in your mind? Well, usually, number one, it's to enjoy. You're not just going to look at it. You're going to enjoy it. Well, our Creator wants to enjoy watching us live out the plans He has for us. And He wants us to enjoy living them. Isn't it how we are for our kids? We want to see our kids doing the plans or the things that we've taught them are right. And when they're doing the right things that we've taught them to do, don't we get enjoyment out of that? Don't we get excited about that? That's our Father with us. And our kids are usually excited when they do something right and good, aren't they? That's the same for us. We should be excited, and we're going to have excitement and joy when we're walking out that purpose that's been created for us. And not only that, desserts or meals, you don't usually prepare a great big meal or a great big dessert to eat all on your own. Well, not usually. Usually it's to share. Our lives are to share our gifts, our talents, our personalities. Everything within us is to share. Why? Because we're called to be the ambassadors of our Maker. An ambassador is someone who represents our Maker, who shows who our Maker is. That's what what our biggest calling is, but it's in our own life that He's created us, each individually a different one to walk out. But we all have that we're supposed to be doing. We're all supposed to be shining Him through us in our own unique way that He's created us to do it. And it's to share and to bear fruit. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which He prepared in advance for us." And we've already talked about how He's prepared things in advance, how He's planned all our days out. And I want to say this, is you can't say, "Well, I'm having a bad day. Why'd you plan this one, God?" I'm not saying that that's how it goes. I'm saying He's planned our days, and when we're walking in His goodness, we're going to be able to make through those days. But there are the decisions that we've made that maybe weren't so good, or decisions that others make, because He gives us that free will, and He gives us that free will of having His hand in our life. And we have to choose that. But he also equips us for when things aren't going the way we'd think. But He's prepared those things for us, good works for us to do. So are we doing the good works with the gifts and talents that we've been given? John 15:16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." So I get a couple things out of that is, okay, we're supposed to be bearing fruit. We're supposed to be sharing Christ in everything we do and letting others see that in us. But you know what? When we're walking in God's will, we're going to know His will. And we're going to be able to ask in His will. And we're going to see the results. He's going to be able to give us what we're asking because we know His will. So in Resolution for Women, it's the book we've been going through with the small group. The men have been doing the men's one. There's a chapter that's called Authentically Me. And I just really thought this fit this morning, so I'm just going to read a section from there. It says, "Your job at any given moment is to bring all your gifts, all your talents, all your propensities, and all your passions into this thing called life and believe that they are good enough to produce the fruit expected of you. Fall back into the genuine, authentic reality of your value in God's eyes. The one who chose you, set you apart, and pointed you to bear fruit. He has loved you enough to make you like no other, and He's given you a task that is yours alone to complete with His abundant help and empowerment." I just thought, okay, I don't have to do it alone. That is so relieving. His empowerment and His abundant help is always there. He's given me a task, and He's given me everything I need to complete it. It's exciting to me anyway. And I just wanted to share this other picture I had. I actually had a picture to show you, and then I lost it, so sorry. So you're going to have to picture this one in your mind, too. But a puzzle. You look at one piece on the puzzle, and you can look at the colors and whatever. Maybe it has a lot of colors. Maybe it only has a couple. And you look at that picture on the, or that blotch of the color on the puzzle, you're going to say, "That really doesn't show much." And you're going to say, "Oh, that's not really a significant piece," and put it aside. When you put that whole puzzle together, you're going to think that piece is pretty important now when you're missing that one piece. And you're going to see the importance of it because you're going to see what those colors made. Same within us. God sees a big picture. And we're part of it. And when we're not walking in it, there's a hole in the picture. And those colors, maybe you don't have a ton of blue, and you have a little of yellow, but those are important and significant in the picture, just like the picture of your life. Those things that are within you are a big part of your picture. It completes the picture. And in a puzzle, you miss a piece, or you're missing a piece, that puzzle becomes weaker. When you're not fulfilling your part in the puzzle or your part in your life with everything that God's given you to give, everyone around you, is, in some way or another, is going to be weaker. We need each other. In this church, we need the gifts and the talents of everybody that God's put here because you're here for a reason and you have something to give in the picture of this church. You have a picture of your family. You have something to give. The picture of your workplace. Are you fulfilling your part with the color that God's put in you? And maybe each place has a different color, you know? It doesn't mean that one gift's the only gift you're going to live in, because it's really easy to get focused on one thing when people go, oh, that's you do that so good. Oh, you do that so good. Well, you probably have a lot more than just that one thing. So don't get stuck just on that one thing and think that's the only thing you have to give. You have colors in you. You have ingredients, not an ingredient, ingredients in you. And when we do that, it releases others to do their part better and to shine brighter, or allows them to find the creator so that they can start living better. I have a clip of a movie that I want to show you this morning, and then I'm going to conclude the message.
Go over there and read the quotation that's on the wall. Read it aloud, please.
Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same.
Does that mean anything to you?
I don't know.
It's written in plain English. But what does it mean?
That I'm not supposed to be afraid.
Afraid of what?
Afraid of me.
We're not supposed to be afraid of who God's created us to be. We need to allow Him to release that which He's put in us. We are supposed to be that great Allah. That's who He created us to be. He's given us each the things that we need in our life to be that for those around us, for the things that we're a part of. He's given it all to us. If you haven't figured that part out of what you have to give, get before the Lord and say, God, show me. Show me what these gifts and talents are in me that I am supposed to be living in. Give me the courage to step out and do them. If you have these dreams in your heart or these desires in your heart that you've always pushed aside, say, okay, God, is this here for a reason? Am I supposed to be doing something like this? If you get stuck on comparing, or if you get stuck looking at your weaknesses, or if you get stuck looking at your past, ask Him. Because He's got great plans for you, and He wants to let His holy manifestation flow through us and release others as we do it. It's exciting. So don't doubt your value and don't run from who you are this morning. And I'm just gonna close in prayer. Lord, I just thank You. I thank You that You took thought of every part of us and every part of our lives when You created us. You knew the bad choices before we made them. And You knew the good ones. You knew our strengths and our weaknesses, and You have a plan for each and every person in this room. So this morning, Lord, I ask You to stir those desires that have been pushed aside. Stir those dreams that have been hidden. Stir the gifts and the talents that maybe have been questioned. Lord, let us live the plans that You had. Guide us and lead us in those plans. And help us to start making those decisions to allow Your hand in us every day and every moment. In Jesus' name. So go enjoy your life and share it.